Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is so wonderful to have your company today for episode 349.3. Today on the show, we're going to do a quick rundown of Frank's trip to NZ, some of the latest news, a look into my latest toy room transformation, and then we've got a gift from Spin Master Gab. Gentlemen, welcome into this episode. We've got a full house again. Scotty is back.
Hello. Hooray.
Ben is back.
G'day, g'day.
We never left. And no. Frank is back.
Hello, hello.
Back from the land of the long white cloud.
Plenty
of sheep. Four to one sheep to human ratio.
Do you know what we saw probably the most of was cows. For a bit of context, we flew into the North Island because that's a direct flight from Adelaide. To get to South, you had to do a connecting flight. Jack's never been on a plane before, so we're just like, let's not risk it, because if the first flight goes poorly, we don't want to say, hey, you know that thing you hated for 4 hours? We've got another one.
Especially ear infections and things like
that. All that sort of stuff.
Attitude, yeah.
But to his credit, he was a great little traveler. He just, you know, he had his noise-canceling headphones, had his iPad. He was, you know, the stewardesses and all that were bringing him all the little snacks they could and stuff. So he had a great time. The actual trip itself, we probably did about 1,000 kilometers sort of traveling sort of up and down the North Island. And it was cows. Cows were the number one. It was cows, then witch's hats, and then sheep. So many roadworks in New Zealand.
So it felt like Adelaide then.
the difference is that you sit there and go, we would go through kilometers of roadworks, you know, slow down to 50 or whatever it is, and you go, there's no one. There's not even a guy leaning on a shovel. There's no heavy machinery. Yeah. I couldn't actually tell what work they were doing. They just lined the street with cones. And you're like, why are we doing this again? Like,
because I know they have a lot of weather erosion and things on the roads and things. It wasn't, you know, like issues like that.
Not that I could tell. I mean, there were some sections where it was obvious what they were doing and stuff. But it just, you know, when you're doing a driving holiday, the last thing you want to see is roadworks. Yeah. And it felt like we saw a lot. But, you know, Jack enjoyed every now and then. We'd go driving and there's, you know, just fields full of, must have been hundreds of cows in this field. And he'd be like, oh, cows. And it was like, it's the first time he's seen these animals.
Yep.
That over like 15 days gets a little bit wearing by the end of it. He's just like, buddy, we've seen lots of cows. There's no need to yell in my ear when you see another field full of cows.
But how cool is the level of excitement?
Exactly.
That he's just loving it that much.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
He was really into it. So as part of that, we stayed on a number of farm stays. That was sort of our primary places we stayed. Put up a couple of photos. I didn't feel like spamming people sort of on the social medias and stuff. But these farm stays were like, you go out in the front yard, and there's a paddock right next to you with donkeys and cows and sheep you can feed. And these are all hand-raised things. There's no issues around getting bitten and all that sort of stuff. So he loved all that. We went to see the glowworm caves, which was really cool.
Now, how was that? Yeah.
That was really cool. You go through, you feel like Indiana Jones. You got to trek down into this sort of windy path. Yeah. You go over a bridge at one point that has railing just on one side. The other side is just like a creek.
Sheer drop.
And I'm just like, all right, Jack, just to one side, please, you know. And then you get the helmets with the little torches on and stuff, and the guy takes you. And you're basically on an underground river in a boat, and there's these cables that they've sort of run, and the boat is, you don't want sound in this sort of place. So the boat is literally the guy standing at the back of the boat pulling you along this cable in the pitch dark.
Right.
Now, he obviously knows, you know, where the support beams are and all that sort of stuff, but then it's just like, it's like those star map sort of LED things you get, but it's all just these tiny little bugs that are like so small.
So they produce a really strong glow?
And it's one of these things that's really hard to take photos of because of the whole exposure in your camera and stuff. I did manage to get one decent photo, but it's literally like a thing full of LEDs on the thing.
Wow.
And it's silent until you start getting towards this waterfall in an underground river in a pitch dark cave, because you can hear it coming.
Of course.
And then you're just like, you know, the guy knows where to stop. And we're just like, how close are we to the waterfall? And he just turns his light on. And it's like, you know, from me to Scott away, just his drop. And he's like, don't worry, we're not going down there. I was like, good.
It's a bonus.
Yeah. So that was really cool. We got to go to Hobbiton, which was great fun. Jack sort of enjoyed that from the perspective of there's little houses that are my size.
Yeah.
You know, had no context of the movies and all that sort of stuff. Our tour guide there was this German fellow who was quite funny. I was wearing a Marvel jumper that morning because it was a bit cold. And I go to get on the little shuttle bus and he goes, no, we cannot have this. He goes, wrong movie franchise. And then later on it got a bit hot and I took the jumper off and I had a Superman t-shirt on underneath. And he looks at me and goes, Superman? Really?
Fantastic.
So he was good fun.
What's it like? Like the Hobbiton, obviously they built Hobbiton for real and you know, the hills and grew the grass and put in the little doors and everything. What's it like in terms of the maintenance of it? Does it still feel pretty?
Yeah, so they literally have a team of people that actively, you know, cutting the grass back to reasonable levels. Right. All the gardens and stuff you see are all legit. So there's these pumpkins that Dead Set were, I don't know, I could pick them up. They were that big. And I'm like, surely that's a prop. And he goes, no, the only props you will find are the ones that sit in the within the little picket fences of the houses. Anything that was sort of out in the general shared area, there's a pond where there was real ducks and stuff.
Yep.
You know, the tour guide catch you, oh, yes, I see our animatronic ducks. Just they're so close to the real ones. Like, so that was really cool. What they have done in the last year is they've actually, because you can't go into, you know, Bag End and these sorts of places, it's literally just, you could go in the door and there's nothing there because all the interior was shot on a set.
Of course.
They've actually built two purpose-built hobbit holes that are just generic, you know, they're not anyone's particular house, but you can go in and it's fully decked out. It's got a little well in there. There's a toilet. There's a bed. There's a living space. There's a writing desk. They just go, this is built for tourists. Interact with all the things.
That's
go
so nuts. Cool.
And so you've got some great footage of Jack just going, there's a bunk bed. He's taken his socks and shoes off, climbed up the ladder and is just lying in a hobbit bed.
Yeah,
like,
that's brilliant.
So that was really great. Had a couple of days in Wellington where we got to see the Marvel exhibition, which was really great. I only put up about a fraction of the photos I took because there's some really cool stuff. Obviously MCU stuff, but some of the stuff about Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, all the sort of artists all behind it and stuff. Really, really well done. Jack tore through it in like 10 minutes and I'm like, sorry, Ali, this is my time. I'm going to be a while. She's like, yep, that's cool. Jack got to do horse riding. Must have spent about, I reckon overall, probably close to 4 hours on various horses through different treks that we did. He got quite confident on it. Ali was not as confident. She had a bit of an incident on one of her horses where one was biting the other one and, you know, she was holding on for dear life. And I was like, not much I can do because I'm up on a horse myself. Like I can't, you know, the trainers got involved. We went to a couple of riverboat cruises as well to see some big waterfalls or the Maori where they have the carvings on the rock faces. And it's literally like a Maori style face that's been carved into the rock however many years ago. And just a lot of outside time. And we got caught up in a street party in Wellington. It was literally, I don't know what it was, their equivalent of Rundle Mall, let's say. And it was just a sea of people everywhere. And then there was just these random dance troupes that were breaking out. And one of them must have been the retirees dance troupe because they're all dressed in like the German
Lederhosen,
thank you. And they're all just having like, and one guy, the lead guy, was in like a giant chicken suit, like a suit that made, you know, his legs were the chicken legs, but it was made to look like he was riding this giant chicken in front of him. And Jack's like, I want to follow that guy. I'm going where he's going because he's having a great time. So, yeah, really good 3 weeks, no work emails and all that. As it turns out, you know, the security I helped set up is really good because when you go overseas and don't tell any – well, don't tell anyone, but don't get the proper permissions, it locks you out because it goes, nah, you're not from Australia. You could be a hacker. So I couldn't check my work emails if I wanted to. Nice. So.
Did you see any Kiwis, any local wildlife over there?
Not actual Kiwis. No, we saw some of the quokkas by the side of the road. They're cool little fellas. But no actual Kiwis. We did go to a few little farms and stuff in there.
Yep.
And it was always funny when they had, oh, come see our Australia section. And it was like, nah, I'm good. Come pat the kangaroos. Nah, not interested. Let's go, you know, look at the alpacas and other stuff. There was one super farm we went to that was very commercial and definitely built for tourists. But there's a point where these things were all hand-fed and you'd get the bucket of feed and they'd all come. And Jack would grab the feed, throw it up in the air, And then it's like pigeons when the food gets thrown, but you're talking full-size sheep and alpacas. And at one point, I had to lift him out because I'm like, he's going to get trampled on by all these animals. To him, it'd be a great way to go. But he was having a great old time.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent.
Good.
Oh, plenty of toy news to get into.
Yeah. So. Yep. Some good stuff. You guys did really well with a two-man show for a bit there.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was fun. Plenty of exciting stuff.
Yes.
And there's just more and more
coming
in now. So should we get into it?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
But she's got a new hat.
Who are you going to call?
WonderCon.
WonderCon. Before we get into this, that they tried to, obviously they started with a 6-inch Ghostbusters line back in the Maddie Collector days, where we finally got a movie line. We got the likenesses of all our favorite Ghostbusters, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson. And then they put out this, I think they were doing a number of these sort of crowdfunding models, right?
Yep.
You know, so you could get Voltron, he'd be crowdfunded, and all these different Maddie Collector style models. Doomsday was another one.
Yep. Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull in Classics was one. And they tried to do the Ecto-1 at the 6-inch scale. Didn't make it.
No.
Got made. It was always a bit big. And then I think Plasma Series released one, and it was just this weird scale.
Yeah, you couldn't fit the figures in.
Now it's like they're creating a new Ghostbusters figure scale so they can fit them into an Ecto-1, and this is what we've got. 3.75-inch O-ring Ghostbusters. Who had this on their bingo card?
Not many.
No
people.
Way. But when so you're cool. playing, you know, when it's Hasbro making Hasbro products, why not look in your own backyard? G.I. Joe has done so damn well for them. The classified line is doing really well. The nostalgic O-ring line is doing really well for them. Why not? Why not? You know, scale the Ecto-1 down to a manageable level, put all the details in, and then make the Ghostbusters G.I. Joe. Like, oh my gosh. You know, they can go up against your hazmat suit Vipers or whatever. I don't know.
It'd be one of those things in the meeting where someone, they're going, oh, how do we get this Ecto-1? It's not working. And someone goes, why don't you make it G.I. Joe size? And just everyone went around the table would have gone,
So this had the online uproar, like loving it. I think a massive positive reinforcement for it. You get all the articulation that a G.I. Joe has in a flight suit version Ghostbuster. I think it's fantastic. You haven't lost any of the detail whatsoever in these characters. And
The likeness is there.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
We've got some, I guess these look like 3D render images, but then we've also got actual sculpted prototypes. Mm. And they do look good. Like they look like the actors.
Yep.
So good on them for being able to pull that off.
And I think at that scale, it then lends itself to what you were saying about the crowdfunded stuff. If this goes well and they start doing like the terror dogs and that sort of expanding on this line, is there a crowdfunded firehouse? It's possible because this is the scale you've settled on.
That look, it would make sense in this scale. I mean, the firehouse is what? Maybe a 3-story building. So, but it's not terribly wide. I mean, it just really needs to be big enough to fit that Ecto-1 in the door at the front there.
You could have a few of the throwbacks to the Kenner, firehouse, add a few of those play features in. And at this scale, I can't see why they won't make ghosts, you know.
What's Ghostbusters without
you
ghosts?
Need ghosts right? You need the ghosts,
And at this scale, you're not losing too much money by, you know, using a 6-inch, character that's one use, you know, you can't repo or any of the parts from. So I think this is the way to go. And I was worried, like with this new movie coming out, where are the toys? Mm-hmm. There's no toys. Yeah. What does this mean? But this is definitely a leap in the right direction for me to see this. There's hope yet for the Ghostbusters franchise. And I hope it never stops.
Nice.
All right. Also out of WonderCon, we have a new wave of Marvel Legends. This has been tagged as an Iron Man retro wave. So they've got that wonderful Toy Biz-esque artwork, even if these characters aren't strictly Iron Man themselves. You've got a really retro-style Iron Man on the wonderful card art. We get three different versions of Iron Man because it is an Iron Man wave after all. Iron Man Mark 1 in the gold, Mark 9 and Mark 20. We also get Count Nefaria, which is a new one as far as Marvel Legends is concerned. Whiplash, as he originally appeared, not the the Mickey Rourke version that most people probably know, and a pretty vintage-looking She-Hulk. And just on that card art, just like the back of it as well, where they've got the, you know, the sort of like faux computer screen with, you know, the real yellow wash on it and stuff. And that Iron Man text is just super, super vintage. I love it.
It's very 90s, very bold. I mean, it's the card back is purple transitioning to pink. And then there's the giant cartoon Iron Man flying with his fist in the air. Very, very 90s. Very, very cool. I do love these retro cards. Mm. And there he is, the Iron Man Model 1 in gold. So this is that very first Iron Man suit, but done obviously in a gold color scheme. Comes with a very, very cool Tony Stark head and a couple of feet flight effects with flame and smoke sort of billowing around, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the Model 9 I think is probably the one that sort of your vintage comic readers are probably most familiar with. I'm waiting for one of these to come with roller skates, like, you know. I mean, that's old school, but like, you know, the blast effects and stuff are cool. Give me an Iron Man with roller skates, please. That would be great. Model 20 is probably pretty close to what most people recognize from the MCU. And Whiplash, looking, he's got like purple sort of gloves and boots. He's got a big green ponytail and like an energy whip and a purple cape, because that's how Whiplash was drawn back in the day.
He looks like a cross between a pirate and Zorro, you know, but really colourful.
Yeah, I can see why they toned him down for the movie.
I liked him. I like Mickey Rourke in.
Yeah, you know, it's a good take. Yeah. And then She-Hulk, a lot of love for this in terms of if she's not just a smaller female body as they tend to do for Marvel Legends. She stands, you know, higher than most of the males from what I've seen. Really, and this is old school with just a purple leotard. Really, it's got a crushed like AK-47 as an accessory, which I think is pretty cool. And Count Nefaria, I don't know too much about him. Well, to be completely honest,
he's got an air on his belt for Nefaria. So, I mean, when you're one of those lesser known villains, you got to get your brand out there somehow, don't you?
Have the insignia going.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. N is for Nefaria. And I'm a cult.
And I have a yellow cape.
Yes.
I'm very much liking that She-Hulk. That's a John Byrne She-Hulk jumping straight off the page there. And I hope to God we get a Fantastic Four version of that She-Hulk there. You don't have to do anything other than a simple repaint of the leotard and the boots, and bang, there we go. And I would be super happy, finally, to complete a fairly robust Fantastic Four collection.
The Fantastic 17, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But She-Hulk is identified as pretty much a core member of the Fantastic Four.
Yep. It's like Australia being in the Eurovision. Yeah.
Interesting comparison, but it works.
All right. We've got to ring the Todd bell. Todd
news. We need a sound effect for Todd.
Gold label. Is it gold label?
It's gold lips.
Gold lips. Oh, wow. Okay, what are we looking at here, McFarlane? Todd McFarlane. You should insert a shaking head emoji. But this is the Batman Who Laughs. So when you've got multiple Earths, you can pull out some pretty weird stuff. And on Earth 22, that's what's happening, because as a result of malevolent nanotoxins, we've got the Joker has transformed Batman into this horrendous looking gold and black figure.
To be fair, I think he just turned him into a horrendous looking Batman. Todd added the gold and the black because it's Todd.
Yeah. It's weird.
Is it actually his lips? I thought it was his teeth.
I think it's his teeth.
Yeah, because he's got the Joker grin happening, and I believe he's got the gold teeth. Yeah. But I do have to... The Batman Who Laughs, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he the one that's got like the spike visor thing going? This
cool-looking figure, Batman Who Laughs.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't. Batman from Earth negative 22.
Negative 22. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes. So it's a different version on it. Okay. It does say Batman Who Laughs on the stand and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I'm really intrigued here. I mean, this is the first time I think I've seen this sculpt. I don't think I've seen this sculpt before. So, and maybe he'll use it as a regular style release. But who is going to buy it? I mean, like, I get there's going to be fans of this, that this style. But your general mum walking in to buy birthday present for Timmy is going to pass up this because it just doesn't look like a version of Batman.
What this is you're reading the comic books, you're buying the comic books off the, you know, trade room floor at the comic book store, and then you're walking past the toy version on the shelf within a month or two of reading the comic. So this is trying to keep up to date with some of the new stories. So it's not hitting your nostalgic buttons whatsoever. And that's where I think we're getting a bit lost. When I think, you know, the Batman Who Laughs, it's back the, you know, what do you call it? The Frank Miller stuff and, you know, all those sort of, that's the Joker, what's that called? It's the...
The Three Jokers? Is that
Killing Joke?
The Killing Joke. I'm thinking of those sort of storylines and that sort of stuff. This is so foreign to me. This is Mad Max Batman, you know?
But this is not how he appears in the comics.
I'm guessing. Yeah, yeah.
And to your point, I don't know because I don't read the comics either. But I'm guessing, as you said, Trent, there is a regular painted version of this that we've somehow missed, but... I'm guessing this is not how he appears in the comics. This is a very odd choice. I like the mold. Mm. Let's do it, you know, gold and black, and then it becomes a gold label special edition, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just really intrigued as to who is buying these Jokerized versions. Because, I mean, we can walk into a Kmart here in Australia and pick up, you know, Black Adam from the Black Adam movie, right? Which is a really, I mean, say what you will about the film, it's a really nicely sculpted version of Black Adam. Mm. And similarly, you can get a Penguin from the Reeves, you know, the Batman for like $15, like really cheap. And clearly that's because they didn't sell. Now that's a concern to me. If those sort of figures done on very standard iconic looking characters aren't selling, who's buying this? I just don't know. I don't know. I'd love to know. I'd love to know who's buying this. But anyway.
This is Batman if he was sponsored by Chanel or Dolce & Gabbana, something like that. That's exactly what's going on here. And next time the pop-up Prada store comes to Adelaide, this is going to be in the front window because this is the $10,000 toy you buy to go with your $20,000 handbag.
Yeah. Well said. All right. This is cool. There's a Zazz. Don't get too many Zazz figures.
No.
And this is Zazz from his look in the comics books. He looks sort of, to me, very 90s.
Yeah, he looks like the Nightfall version of Mr. Zazz. Yeah, absolutely wicked.
He got the all the scar marks on him from all his victims. So he's got no shirt on. You can see all the different etchings into his skin. And he's got those really weird, I don't know if they're eyes or sunglasses, but those sort of black triangle eyes with the little white dots. And he's got that sort of maniacal grin. Very, I think this is a good figure to put out. We haven't got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have a Victor Zazz in my collection. Yeah. Maybe the only one I would have is potentially if they did him in Arkham. I think they might have done an Arkham version.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's pretty much it. So I'm liking that. Again, what is with the collector card not matching the figure? Yeah, Zazz looks nothing like the version.
I think
there.
He's just trying to tie it back to Batman by holding the the Batman outfit.
Yep.
I don't know. That's just my guess.
And then we get into some page punches, which are black and white versions of different versions of Superman. Very, very interesting. I don't even know who those guys are. There's General Zod.
Yeah, these are from the Ghost of Krypton storyline.
Oh, yes, right? Yes. Yeah.
Thou Zod and Superman of Earth 2 and Brainiac. Mm. Brainiac looks pretty cool. He looks like he's from Halo or one of those sort of video games. But who's the werewolf guy? Is that Thou Zod?
This thing's meant to be like a zombie version of... Thou Zod?
Deceased. You know, DC deceased.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's Zod.
So General Zod, Superman, Thou Zod, and Superman of Earth 2.
Yeah. Superman of Earth 2 is up there. He looks like an African-American Superman, Thou Zod, and Brainiac. Mm. Now, again, these look like a lot of these. I mean, have we seen that version of Brainiac?
I feel like we've seen coloured versions of most of these. I think I remember the Thou Zod looking one. He was like translucent,
of course,
purple green type stuff.
Yep.
So there are normal colored versions of these. What we're looking at are these are the black and white, almost trying to go for that sort of not cell shaded, but like really just heavily inked. Bit like the, what was paint it, the Superman Anniversary one he did that was like red and blue.
That's right. Yep.
Like real two-tone. You've got mostly white but black for the shading and stuff. Look, I probably like the Earth 2 Superman the best. I think the shading goes a little bit overboard on the other ones. There's too much
black.
Superman's cape is nearly all black.
Yeah.
And in a two-dimensional still image, that probably works. Again, this is that thing of trying to make a comic book on a three-dimensional object, which doesn't always translate.
It's hard to do, and I think you're right. Earth 2 Superman does look the best. My favorite versions of this technique are on the NECA TMNT line on the Eastman and Laird Mirage stuff, where they've done Fugitoid and they've done the Utrom, which are very shiny metal figures. Two-dimensional imagery on a three-dimensional figure, and it works. It just looks right. This is not quite there for me. I think I'd be the first to admit this is hard to pull off.
Well, give me this in Sin City Frank Miller style.
Yeah. That would work. Yeah,
I love that.
And still on the McFarlane train, we've got some, I think these are teasers from WonderCon as well. We get some collector editions of Rebirth Starfire. We're getting a very classic version of Penguin, complete with, you know, his guts hanging out and his waistcoat and the monocle, and a pretty cool version of Captain Boomerang.
He's got cloth outfits.
Cloth good.
Yeah, I was looking
even
at that.
Even a scarf.
He's got his cape that seems to be flowing around him. So it's not, not plastic. That looks to be cloth goods.
Yep. Cloth good kind of trench coat and a cloth good scarf. Of note, this penguin we're looking at here is in, he's got like a black kind of tuxedo with an orange waistcoat and purple pants. I think one in six of these are colored like superpowers in the very light blue.
Right.
So it's the chase, essentially, the superpowers version. And likewise, I think Starfire has a black version where she's got black hair and her outfit's very dark. Again, I think she's one in six.
Right.
I know there was a lot of complaints about the Wonder Woman that had a variant that no one really wanted, right? And a lot of people were, you know, had ordered online, had ordered the regular release, and
they got the chase.
And they're like, I don't want the chase. I want the regular looking Wonder Woman, not this weird yellow colored strange Wonder Woman. This will be really interesting with the Penguin. Like, I think with the Starfire, you'd be really quite annoyed because, I mean, to me, Starfire's hair is
red-orangey
color, right? So to get a black-haired version, I mean, if you like that version or know where that version comes from, great, more power to you. But you'd be disappointed. The one that will be interesting is the Penguin, because if I wanted one version of the Penguin, I'd want the superpowers-colored version. So that one might be more sought after.
I think they did that with Mr. Freeze quite a few while ago, and they did their superpowers coloring for Mr. Freeze, and everyone went bonkers.
Yep.
And maybe that was the one in sixth as well, because it was quite hard to come by. You couldn't just go and click on it and order it by itself. So very cool. Please do more.
The Joker-mobile. Who saw this coming from the Todd?
This is totally out of left field, but I love it.
Yeah, I love this too. So what Todd's been doing, if for those who came in late, as Lee Falk would say from The Phantom, Todd, DC Direct or DC Collectibles, they went out of business, right? So they liquidated. Todd was good enough to kind of pick up some of the staff, pick up some of the concepts. Now, they got very close to finishing their line on Batman, the animated series, and the new Batman Adventures. So they released a ton of figures. Todd came in and he's been re-releasing them. So he's been doing sort of like these build-a-figure waves. So very hard to get figures like Scarecrow have been re-released. And he's doing brand new characters as the build-a-figure. So it's sort of like I'm looking at it going, do I really want a Captain Ketchup or what's that guy? Condiment King. I need to buy all four figures again to get my Build-A-Figure Condiment King, and it's just not my cup of tea. But he's been re-releasing them. But something that is brand new is the Joker-mobile from the animated series. And this also had a toy as well back in the 1990s line by Kenner. Now, this is in the gold label, Todd McFarlane. It's got beautiful box art of with the Batman Animated Series logo and a cartoon version design on the box, which looks great. It's kind of like, what is this?
Dragster?
Dragster, Dragster. With like
a big Joker face as the sort of front of the car.
Yep, Joker face looking very stylized. It's got like an engine that's popping out of the hood and lights up.
Yeah, small wheel at the front, huge big wheel at the back to really kick it, you know.
And what's that?
Gear.
What did the Munsters drive around in? Was it like a hearse? Did they drive around in a hearse?
Yeah.
At the back, it looks very much like a Munsters mobile.
Yes.
It's almost sort of hearse-like.
Can you put figures in the back?
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity to
flip the top?
Yeah, pull up the top and put some characters in the back?
Yeah, so on that point, the steering wheel looks to seat two figures at the front.
Yep.
And then there's a space for two figures sitting in the back. So theoretically, it would take four figures. If you scroll to the next page, you might get... There it is. Yeah. So there you can see Riddler is riding there and Joker's standing. It's quite big.
It's huge.
It's massive.
What do you think? Like, good move, right?
Simply the light up feature with the face at the front, that makes it, like, that's going to pop on a shelf. You get a lot of vehicles that are a bit generic, you know, you get Flash riding a motorcycle. This is, this stands out on your shelf. And looking at are they 3.75?
Now, these are close to, they're definitely
so that's
six.
That's a big car when you look at it.
Yeah. The Batman, like I've got the Batmobile from this line when DC directed it, and I've got the Batwing. Now, they are coffee table size items. They're huge.
Yep.
This doesn't quite look... I mean, that Batmobile stylistically is very, very long.
Yep.
This looks... Like, this will be big. It won't be quite as big as those vehicles, but it's going to take up a lot of room on your shelf.
Yep.
I think it's amazing. Like, as iconic as the Batmobile is and the Batwing, this is, you know, dead set just screams Joker. Yep. Like, there's no way someone's going to be looking at this and be like, I wonder whose vehicle that is for, you know.
Where did I park my car again?
Yeah, exactly. Like, which one is yours?
And pretty competitively priced. We believe it's shipping in May and retailing for, I believe, that's $60 USD.
Very good price.
Is set to be a Target exclusive, apparently. So how hard that is to get in Australia, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, this is interesting because the way it's worded here is it's exclusive to Target in the USA.
Right.
That might mean in other locations.
Go nuts.
Yeah. I suspect you'll see this on the pop culture website for around $100 plus.
Yeah. I was going to say. Would you pay $100 for it?
Look, I don't have the room for this. I think
that's not what I asked.
I would lap this up at $100. I think what are you now looking at? You can barely get a figure for $50.
Mm-hmm.
So for the price of two figures, really, or three figures if you're getting a cheap one, I think that's great value.
Steal.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Finally, Transformers Studio Series, the Dinobots Swoop. I think everyone's been clamoring for this.
The last one.
Completes the five. The original five. If you don't go into the Japanese characters and things, and it's classically coloured, so it's the comic book version as opposed to the toy version. So I think this is the correct choice. I think I saw on April Fool's. They were like, "Oh, look, there's a variant. You can get the red chest one. You know, watch out." Like,
considering the sheer weight on this figure, like people have been clamoring for this. People already have the. And these are they've done all the Dinobots in the leader class, so these are big, chunky figures. And this is the last one they needed. And for someone to like play that sort of a prank, I was like, "You are playing with matches, there, mate." Like,
100%. And there will be a certain collector core that would want the red chest as well. But look, you know, that's for another time. That's for another movie release or something down the track. But this is, of course, the 40th anniversary version with the blue chest, the red sort of pterodactyl, head and things like that. I love the fact that he comes with not one but two swords because he traditionally didn't really have a gun, but you can still detach the guns that go under his wings and give them, connection to his hand, which I think is cool. He will come with a flight stand, I've heard, so you can have him flying and stuff. Available fall of 2024 and pre-order right now on April 4th. So get your whoever you order from, you can order him now. $55, I believe that is USD. Yep. So he's going to be around the $100 Australian.
They're traditionally around that price.
And for that size, it's not too bad. So,
No, I'm very cool. Very excited to finish off that collection.
Now,
whoa, when did this
popped
whoa.
Up today, and oh my gosh. So this is Master of the Universe Origins Necroconda. Right?
Well, now we've been teased him for a little
have
while.
Have we? Okay,
yes.
Well, I must be sleeping under a rock because I haven't really noticed this guy before, but he is everything from 2000X. He's got that Skeletor, snake chest that I saw, I think the snake Skeletor had.
Snake armor.
Then he's got this, Ratlaw head with a hood, a cape. He's got glow-in-the-dark weapons. He's all black and like this glow-in-the-dark green thing. He's got the pincers that He-Man, snake armor He-Man mm-hmm. had mm-hmm. on his arms and things. So he's, ready to toe-to-toe with He-Man. He just looks like I haven't been this excited about a Masters of the Universe Origins figure since probably Kamo Khan. Honest to God, this guy just blew me away when I saw him instantly. I'm like, that is a hardcore must-have for me. So I will be very keen to look out when when we get more information and things for him. This is what I wanted, the unknown one or whatever from classics. This is what he should have looked like.
Yeah.
Instead of that.
Well, he can be now.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Make up your own lore.
Yeah. So this guy looks amazing. There's three of them in the shot, but only one of them is sort of wearing the hood. So he's a bit of an army builder. He's a bit of a reanimated Snake Man soldier.
Yep.
He's sort of whatever you want him to be. Lady Slither is there in the background, whether she's got a bit of a history.
Looks like she's conjuring them back up. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no sort of lore that this is pulled from? This is sort of brand new?
I believe so, yeah. I'm not aware of anything. This seems to be a creation of Origins, which is really cool that they've done a bit of this stuff. Mm. And that head, you said Ratlaw head. There's a new figure that's come out based on, I think he's Viper or something, based on the Viper tower.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I'm wondering if this is a bit more like the Viper head. Not sure.
Because he does look like he's looking downwards instead of upwards. Ratlaw always looked up because of his action features, so you might be right there. But either way, he looks amazing. Mouth quite, open and things, and I just hope the inside of his mouth glows everything else.
I would say his mouth glows, his chest armor glows, his loincloth, which is a very Roman armor, Roman warrior style, and his pincers and his three swords all glow, his two swords and a dagger. And judging by the photo they've got, they're sort of showing the bits that glow.
Yeah, he looks outstanding in my eyes. Cool. Just someone's crawled into my head and thought, what does Ben like?
It needs to be a villain. It needs to be a snake, and it needs to glow in the dark. Yeah. And Ben will buy this.
It's just so cool.
Would you army build? So you get put off different weapons.
The price of these guys. If I could order two, I'd happily keep two. But I, the price of these and obtaining them. It's not like I can go to the Big W and pull, them off the shelf for $20 each. This is, online order only, I believe. So I'll probably be...
I'm just trying to work out why it's in such a large window box. If you have a look.
I think for all the extra weapons.
He's got a, like Lady Slither.
I was just about to say.
He's got a snake tail as well.
Now I definitely need to. 100%.
And that answers the question. That's why he's in a luxe
that
box.
That was it. Because I was looking at it just going, that's a lot of dead space under those accessories. But he's got the alternate torso, which is the snake.
They're really milking that.
Good on them too. Because that's something very unique.
Yes. Because Merman is coming out with that. Part of the Grayskull Turtles crossover. So I don't have that tail in my collection yet, so that'll be the first one. I cannot wait now. That's even more exciting.
Well, sounds like at least two of us are getting up at 3 a.m. to order that from Mattel Creations.
Yep, and Frank has to too, just so I can army build.
Speaking of still on Masters, Mondo are doing their thing with their amazing 1/6 scale figures, and we now get a look at their Teela figure. And oh my God, I think, who did I see? It was either Dan Larson or Pixel Dan, one of those two, looked at this and went, this is the best Teela figure we have ever gotten.
She's perfect.
In any line.
Perfect.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I have one criticism, which I can make later, but I think that is accurate. And I'm not sure if it was... who designed this? Might have been one of the key, Emiliano or someone like that, I think, was involved in this. And his biggest disappointment was that he wasn't able to show this to Mark Taylor. And I think Emiliano and Mark were quite close. You know, they
worked together.
Well, yeah, Emiliano went over there, and Mark Taylor and his wife showed him all the sketches, and that's when, you know, around that time of launching Legends of Dragon Aura, and they had originally a very heavy Mark Taylor concept line. So that he was so proud that this is really based on those initial sketches that Mark did. It is insane how good this is. And there's a couple of, there's a really nice kind of smiling Teela face that has a bit more of the free flowing hair. That's a bit more, it's 2000X. And it's just such a pretty, it's just so beautifully done.
It's radiant, isn't it?
It is radiant. Yes. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And then you look at the accessories that it comes with, the staff, the sword, the scabbard, the shield, the snake staff, and the snake headdress.
Yeah. Yep.
It's got everything. My only complaint, and this is quite a minor complaint, but when you put the snake headdress on, it just sits a little bit high. And I think that's because if you look at the top right photo, it's just because it's got her tiara under. What they did in Classics, they gave her a second head where they took away just a ball-jointed kind of like top, where you could fit the snake head on nice and perfectly. I think by trying to put it on top of the tiara, it sits a little bit high. That's my only gripe. But other than that, this is beautiful and perfect. And only $250. I think that's a pretty... USD, obviously. I think that's a pretty good price for a Hot Toys scaled figure.
Yeah, and you can see it. We've got looking at some images where she's taking on Beast Man. And I think the scale is really important. Like, yeah, you talk 1.6, but they're not... You know, that Beast Man is obviously just a huge figure by comparison, as they should be. She's got the fur sort of on her, like, shoulders and the, you know, her boot cuffs as well. Like, yeah, there's very, very little wrong with this figure. Amazing.
Yep.
And what did we say? $250 US. Pre-order window closes on April 12, which is... a few days after, as of this recording, and set to ship in July.
I love this. The timed exclusive. You've got a certain window to order it, and then they'll make to order. I think this is genius. I love the model. And I know you have to wait. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea because you have to obviously wait for them to go in. But you're not going to miss out if you can sort of time it and get your funds ready, or maybe they do some sort of prepayment thing. I reckon that's... really, really great. So jump on it. I've got really mixed feelings about this Mondo line because I made a decision at the start not to go in because I didn't like the first He-Man and Skeletor. But since then, they're putting out the... and I'm just like, oh, man. I'd have nowhere to put them, so it's probably all for the best. But unbelievable Mondo.
Between this and X-Men, they can do no wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's... they're just, every release is 10 out of 10. It's just blowing me away.
Yeah. Good on them. It's great. Now, who saw this coming?
Jeez.
So I think we knew the Cowboys of Mumisa were coming. we talked about Nasil, you know, grabbing all these lines that other companies had sort of turned away from. And Cowboys of Mumisa were one of those Nasil lines that were on the cards to come. And now, thanks to Toy Collector Magazine, we have our first look at one figure of the Mumisa toy line, right? And they've chosen to call out Sheriff Terrible, right? So, and that is such a wicked pun on words.
What a great
pun.
Yeah,
so he is obviously a bull, and he's a, you know, yeah. So Sheriff Terrible. And a quick quick read up on him. He's the town sheriff, but he's as crooked as anything, like, you know, as crooked as his horns, so to speak. And so he's the, you know, the bad guy in the show and in the toy line and whatever. So I've got a comparison picture of what he looked like in his original,
toy?
Playmates, was it? Or
I don't know Hasbro, who did it, but it looked,
Hasbro,
yeah.
I think, did them.
Okay.
Yeah. Hasbro or Mattel.
It's anyway. Very, very Playmates-esque, isn't it?
It is, like, but
whether
it wasn't,
they got Varna Studios to sculpt them.
It wasn't Playmates, I don't think. I think it was one of the other ones. Frank's going to look that up. Thank you, Frank. So there's the Playmates, and if you look at one of the horns on his thing, it's like a knife instead of a regular horn. So that was interesting. But they clearly have taken inspiration from the cartoon.
Correct.
And I've added a picture there from the cartoon of him looking through a jail cell. And I think that's the right direction because he is as square as he is tall. He is just a chunky huge, boy. Huge character. Those guns, pistols that he's carrying in his belt buckle are going to be enormous. Like, they're just going to be as big as your sort of, you know, hand almost by the time you get him in here. This guy is 7.75 inches.
Almost 8 inches tall.
Yeah, in tall. Huge. And he's almost probably 8 inches wide, I reckon. So this looks amazing. And, you know, congratulations to Toy Collector Magazine for having the world premiere title of it in their 11th issue of their magazine. And I cannot wait to see what is next. They're doing really well with Biker Mice and Mars. People are starting to get them in hand. They did amazing things with my beloved Sectors.
Yep.
So it's fantastic that they're taking their time, not releasing everything all at once, you know, and oversaturating the market with new toy lines. They're a steady release of these figures and new, you know, toy lines. And I'm, you know, genuinely excited to see where Nesil Company will go from here.
Yeah. So. Really, I've got some of their Sectors, and they are beautiful. They're really nice quality, really nice packaging. And like you say, I was happy to wait to get the quality that they're delivering. And we know Brian Vockweis. He did the Toys That Made Us, the Movies That Made Us. Really good guy, loves his collecting, and he's treating these things really, really nicely with a lot of love and trying to build a universe for them as well with Ryan Reynolds, I think, is involved in the Biker Mice cartoon series.
Yep, was Hasbro.
Right, yep. There you go.
So, yeah. So
and just interestingly here, so we got a picture of the Hasbro figure. Very, very stylized, very much in that Playmate style that you'd expect from things like Ninja Turtles, that style of Toxic Crusaders.
Mm. Yep.
Then you've got a picture from the cartoon. And the figure is certainly more cartoon-inspired, but he's taking elements from the toy.
Yep.
So if you look at the glove, you know, he's got one gloved hand in the toy and one non-gloved hand, and they've kept that little element there.
Yep.
And as well, you look, he's around his neck, he's almost got like an ox would have a sort of neck brace to pull things along.
I thought it was, you know, when you're naughty and, you know, back in the ages where you're naughty and you get your head, you know, your hands.
Stock, in the stockades.
Yeah, so you get that and he's like broken free or something from it.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. I don't know.
You're right. You might be right, though. With the
cow motif makes sense. Yeah.
To be carrying that. So they've kept those sort of motifs and brought them through. So I think it's an interesting design choice. I think it works better.
Oh, it does.
I think it's the choice to make.
Right? I love this. The toy, you know, again, you've got about three applications of paint on the toy, and the this cartoon version just you know, excels a lot more. The sort of the bulk of the cartoon translates better into a toy because he just looks so much more menacing rather than a stock standard buck throughout the line. And I dare say if they play their cards right, each cow or bull or whatever they release will be a different scale you know, physique.
Yep.
And I think that's definitely in a hardcore, you know, 40-year-old collector's mentality, that's what you want. You want them different varying heights and, you know, the bad guy's big and the good guy's maybe small or the boss is big and, you know. Yeah.
How big was the original line in terms of number of
figures? I did have a look. It's probably about a dozen or so figures. It wasn't huge. Never had any play sets or anything. Mm. They had a few other characters aside from cows, I think. It was predominantly cows and stuff and bulls.
It's a line for Jack to get into.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the alpacas of New Zealand coming soon.
All right.
All right, so we are now looking at Ninja Turtles cross Transformers. Yes, the crossovers does not stop, particularly when it's the 40th anniversary of Ninja Turtles. What we got revealed, these are Hasbro products, I believe, that basically these are Ninja Turtles that transform. What they are the party wagon as you know it, and that looks amazing. Like, I think that's really, really
cool.
Great
version. Yeah.
What they've done with this is that you buy one figure and swappable heads and you have the accessories to make it whichever turtle you choose. So they each figure comes with swords, bow, staff, nunchucks, and the size. So you can go, look, if you know Leonardo's your guy, then you can make him into Leonardo, which does, of course, lend itself to, if you want all four, as Ninja Turtles traditionally is, you got to buy this guy four times over. set to be probably roughly around $100 Australian, and to be released in the 15th of July. My one-liner on this is it suffers from that thing that a lot of Transformers do, where one mode looks really great, the other one kind of suffers. Can you guess which one looks really great?
The truck mode looks amazing.
The truck mode looks amazing. It's right out of the pages of the animation, right off of every... You think of the how that toy should look, and that's pretty much it. The robot mode, it just feels like a bit of a box former, like there's kibble over the shoulders, at the hips, at the, everywhere. He's got this... the Turtle Van sort of shield kind of sits behind their head like
I don't mind that. It's the kibble around the underneath the hands and the, around the waist and stuff. That's just that's
he's just got these panels hanging off his waist with two wheels on it. It's like ugh, it's just and then the, and the coloring as well. Like there's so much yellow on it, you almost forget. Like for in the turtle form, if all that yellow kibble goes away, then you can see it's actually a green turtle.
Yeah,
like that, it looks not great. In my opinion,
no, it doesn't. I'd be interested. I think Transformers fans might want one of these. You know,
yeah.
I think it would look really odd. Like I wouldn't want four of them in robot. No. Like because, like you say, robot mode is not the great mode.
Yep.
And to then buy four so you can have four different turtles displayed that way, it just seems strange.
Mm.
I would probably display this in truck mode, and then one would be plenty.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, look, good on them for trying it. I think they've done probably kind of as well as they could have with the shape of the truck. I mean, that's like, it suffers from that RC style of what do you do with the bulk?
Yes, where does it all go?
Yeah.
I did see one meme where people were just like, you know, because the Ninja, this obviously hits two fandoms, and the Ninja Turtles fans were just like, I'm sorry, Transformers cost how much? Like, it's $100. They're not used to paying when you think of, you know, Playmates typical sort of price range.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, coming out in July this year, I believe it'll just be a regular release, not exclusive to anywhere. Yeah. We'll see who gets these in hand and what they look like. Still on Turtles, this was a little tidbit I found the other day. Basically, the wonderful quarter-scale Ninja Turtle figures based on the movie, which are probably rank among some of the best work NECA has ever done, they're getting a re-release. They announced this as part of the 40th anniversary celebrations. Basically, later on this year, sort of quarter three, you can expect to find these guys re-released at retail. They're the sort of thing, Trent, you mentioned about, you know, sort of feeling you missed out on the Mondo stuff. The number of people who look at that, and even non-toy people, they look in my toy room and see those big guys up there, and they're like, oh, man, they're amazing. I'm like, good luck trying to track them down now.
They sold out, and they were very hard to get very quickly.
Yep. And so, yeah, this is just another opportunity for people to get their hands on them. No talk at this stage about being a Shredder or the Foot Soldier re-release, just the four boys. But, yeah, if you missed out first time around, cannot recommend these highly enough.
I love them. I mean, this is really interesting for me because I love these figures. They are, I think, some of the best sculpted and painted figures I own in my entire collection.
Mm.
Like, and for the price point, which they weren't super expensive for getting a 1/4 scale figure. It's a lot of plastic.
Yep.
I seem to remember them being around the $200 mark Australian, right? Which I thought was a pretty good price.
Yep.
These came out before NECA got into the 6-inch scale figures, right? So I think a lot of like hardcore Turtles fans went into these thinking this could be the only movie version I'm going to get of them. Now I look at my collection where space is at a premium, and now that I've got a kind of complete movie line, I'm like, you know what, I could conceivably move these on. As much as I love them, from a space issue, I've got a representation smaller, and I could move them on. So it's an interesting move now. I wonder how many people feel that way, that because you can still get those 6-inch ones. They're still available.
6-inch ones are readily available, but the quarter scale ones will set you back quite a lot.
Oh, exactly. And that's clearly why. And Nick is great at doing this. You know, where there's demand, they'll re-release stuff. And I think that's fantastic because it gives the fans, you know, what they want, rather than, say, paying, I don't know what these might go for, $500 each on the secondary market, to pay a reasonable price. That's great. Mm. Interesting if they ever get to a re-release on Shredder, because, again, that Shredder is incredible.
It's amazing.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah. Now, still on Turtles.
Bit of controversy now.
This is, we got a high-res image of the, what, people are calling, what are they, what's the tagline? They're not Turtles Classics. What are they being billed as? There's Turtles...
with leprosy.
Well, yes. The only image we had of these, basically meant to look like the original Turtles with articulation and updated paint apps. And it was
up until now, we've given them nothing but praise.
Nothing but praise.
Yeah. They were
because we had a grainy image.
A grainy small image. Yep.
That didn't show the abomination of the skin.
Yeah, we get to see them in all their glory, question mark. It's funny, if you actually zoom in on the images, it's actually not so much bumps as it is almost look like someone's attacked them with like a pin.
Yeah.
So they're little indentations more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, every comments thread I look at, it's all negative, negative, negative. I did laugh at one guy who's like, oh, turtle skin isn't even like that. It's meant to be smooth. And I'm like, bro, you've never seen a real turtle. You're just used to like the Ninja Turtle variety. But yeah, I feel like this has changed a lot of people's opinions.
Well, Fresh said, well, I'm out. You know, like he saw this and he's like, I'm out. I don't need them. Thank goodness I can spend my money on something else is sort of the comment. Mm. It's just such a strange choice. You know, like you've paid so much homage to the originals and you've added articulation. And then at the last minute, you've gone, you know what will make these better? Just putting like lots of pinpricks and giving them extra texture. That's what the fans are going to want. It is not what the fans, you know what fans want? Fans want what they remember. And if you're going to change it, you better well improve it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know what people were thinking here. They clearly think this is making them more detailed.
Yep.
They're better in some way. And like you say, you look at the fan reaction, there's no one really sitting here going, oh, bravo, Playmates, for that choice. It's a bad choice, right? It's a poor choice, a poor design choice. There was no need to do it. The other thing we're seeing here for the first time is ankle swivels.
I mean, have a look at your Mutant Mayhem figures because this is where this comes from. Mutant Mayhem figures have the same articulation.
Is it a swivel or is it a ball joint?
Correct.
It's a swivel.
I looked at mine this morning in preparation for this and it's a swivel.
It might be that they... See, I haven't noticed it being bad on those. Mm. And that may be because of the way the foot is or the ankle is designed. These are very kind of angular, so as soon as you turn it, you really notice.
Yeah, the I think on the Mutant Mayhem, where the legs tend to be a lot more up and down, it doesn't break the sculpt
it doesn't
as much.
Seem
this, because
no.
they're sculpted to be like the original figures were, it's really noticeable. And to me, that's more of an eyesore than the skin. I'm not loving it. I probably want to see one in hand before I pick one up, but that ankle, that's just how, you know, I think I've spoken before. Articulation has always been Playmates' sore point. And, you know, when we first saw this image, oh, look, they've got ball-jointed shoulders. They've got, you know, swivels in all the right places in the arms. Turtles finally having knee joints, hooray. And the ankle sort of passed us all by. And that ankle is enough to – that's almost enough to make me go out.
But you can – in my mind, you can position that in the right shape.
If these figures for whatever reason don't stand up when the feet are straight on,
then you've got no choice, and then it looks crap. I agree.
And I don't think that ankle really serves much use in helping the figure stand up, really, compared to your traditional rockers or ball joints or whatever it is.
It's very, very, very odd. It seems so funny because it's like they are running with the baton to the finish line and then they've just, you know, thrown it into the crowd or something. It's such an odd last minute thing to do.
Because you're right. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were all praised for this. Yeah. We're like, oh, Turtles Origins, here we come. And now I think this will be these four and nothing else because they're going to warm some pegs.
Yeah. Look, they're meant to be $20. I reckon if they come to Australia and they're around that $30 mark, I'll probably pop on them because this is more exciting to me than a lot of the other Playmate releases, like those Eastman and Lard initial drawings and things. That doesn't, you know, sing to me as much as this does. The other thing people are noticing is like the weapons, you know, Mikey's orange on his nunchucks is perfect. The blue on Leonardo's sword katanas are perfect. Raph's size, I've got the red band around them, perfect red. And then Donatello, poor Donatello, hit the purple on his bow staff is a completely shade of different purple color than his, you know, bandana and everything. And people are pretty quick to sing that out. Look, why did you do three of them perfectly and then leave, you know?
If they were all a shade lighter, like Donatello's,
no worries.
Okay, that makes sense.
Wouldn't even blink an eye.
Thematically, you just go, oh, it hurts.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Good old Playmates.
I've got to say that I can appreciate life in the sewer is really tough for these guys, but there is no excuse for a poor skincare routine. Get your act together, boys. Yeah.
All right. Well said. All right, moving on to a bit of Star Wars news just very quickly. And I know people are getting very excited to complete or to round out some more of their Cantina aliens as we get the Black Series Mom R. Nadon. Now, I didn't even know what this guy's name was. He's basically one of those hammerhead guys that you see in the cantina briefly having a drink. Well, there's a whole backstory for this guy. He's an exile from Ilthor. Mon Mar Nadon was a rebel sympathizer who cultivated a hidden garden in the blah, blah, blah. He's the guy from he's the guy drinking in the behind the scenes. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you need to get him because that's what you do as a Star Wars fan. Actually comes with a couple of cups and a blaster. So there you go. That's Mon Mar Nadon, or the hammerhead from the cantina. And then
people are saying they want the big-ass gun that he came with, Power of the Force.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And a couple of Rebels are getting a release in the vintage collection, so the 3.75-inch vintage collection. You're getting a Kanan Jarrus, an Ezra Bridger Hero of Lothal, and a Zeb Aurelius. So, yeah, some exciting news on the Star Wars front.
Is this not the what did that ship come in? You know, the crowdfunded ship?
I think it had some of these characters, but maybe different versions. Okay, like, right. I think the
so this isn't stepping Ezra on people's toes by releasing this before they get the ship?
Yeah, the ghost?
The ghost?
The ghost, yeah.
Yeah, look, I haven't lined them up, but I think they're probably slightly different enough.
You think they better be.
I think in the Star Wars universe, you're used to this.
And I suppose if you know, playing devil's advocate, you could buy these for, what, $15-$20 each and open these happily, crack these open and display these in the ghost and leave your ghost ones carded
nice,
you know, nicely, because I think they're exclusive and going to be quite, you know.
I agree.
All right, dates to remember, people. Get your diaries out. We've got Radical Rewind featuring the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film on Friday, the 12th of April.
Oh, that's next week.
Yes, that's next week. So make sure you get your tickets in.
Last one was sold out. You've got to get in.
Get online and book your tickets to avoid disappointment. We'll be there. We've got some prizes to give away. And
I haven't brought my tickets yet.
Oh, well, I'll be there.
I have bought my tickets, but in the last 24 hours, something has come up I may not be able to make it.
Who's going to commentate the movie then?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to attend to hear Frank say the whole thing live.
Exactly. I was going to slide 20 bucks.
I don't need the movie to do that. Like.
And he was going to quickly type out, you know, on the...
Nah, look, I mean, it's honestly, like, I'm really torn with this, but basically in the last 24 hours, as you guys know with my other show, The Hammer Barn Project, Brendan was, of course, did some recording for Bluey. That's now been all public. And basically he got an email the other day saying, hey, we're inviting you guys to Sydney to see it like 2 days before it goes live on the 14th. And it's basically early Saturday morning, which would mean we'd have to fly out Friday night to get there on time. And I'm like, look, this is about the only thing I can think of that would make me skip this movie. Yeah. And I'm looking at Ali and she's gone, you know, she goes, I know you love the movie, but geez, you'll get to be in a room with all the people who make Bluey and all the...
Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, so if anyone wants two tickets, because I did buy them about a week ago, there might be a couple of spare tickets going.
I haven't bought my tickets yet, so I'll probably take them off your hands, Frank. I know Robbie will be keen to attend with me again. Nice. So.
Fantastic. All right, and also coming up on Sunday the 21st of April, of course, we have Brett's Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair. It is now in the 10th year, so that is on the Sunday. So come and see us. We'll have a table going. There's lots of... you know, people there. There's lots of what do you call it? Artist alley and lots of toy vendors, cosplay, video games, something for absolutely everyone. There'll be a Lego exhibition and things like So it's going to be awesome. It's at the St. Clair Rec Centre. That is Sunday the 21st of April.
And if you're listening to this podcast, I highly recommend the early ticket entry.
Yep.
Like if you're that much of a toy fan that you're listening to this, jump on the early tickets. Not very. Brett prices his stuff very well, so highly recommend that option. It does sell out, so you got to get in.
Mm. Yep.
100%. All right, that's it for the news. Now, boys, this is the first time you've all come to my house to record and had a quick look into the toy room before we started recording. This is since the shelving system, and it's inspired a bit of Patreon activity on the Discord with a number of shelving systems popping up that are sort of following suit, which is great to see. But this has been like a massive transformation because putting in the new, you know, I guess you'd call it 3.2 meter long, almost 3 meter high shelving system has taken a lot of extra figures out of storage and put them back onto the shelves.
I just love the use of the word gondola. Gondola, I've been sitting there just going, light the fires. Gondola calls for aids. Like,
it's a daily word in my language. So, yeah.
So it's there. What do we think? It's not set up. And what it has done is it's required me to virtually refit out the entire toy room. That's no small task, setting up all my loose figures again. It's been massive and it's still a work in progress, but it's getting there. It's getting there.
Look, it looks amazing. And the fact that, you know, it's one of these things where you would say, oh, yep, I've got that series or this particular toy, and you could spend hours in your toy room trying to find it, and now you couldn't because previously it would have been in a box under the stairs or in the attic or something. And now, yeah, you might have to flip through some, you know, some stuff on the pegs, but all that stuff is there and visible. So I think it's amazing. Like, it does, that room has always had amazing sound properties in it. I think we've recorded in there a couple of times, and it's better than eggshells on the walls, mate. Like, it's amazing. And now even better. I mean, perhaps not as much room to get a table and record in there, but it just acoustically is amazing. And I think you've done really well with the space you've got. I think you talked about how it was offset to avoid the lights. Otherwise, you'd have these, you know, your LED lights that were just shining on the very top of the shelf. So it's offset. You literally have a toy aisle. We've joked about that. And it's just, it's perfectly spaced. And if it allows you to see more toys, what a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love going in there and seeing the toys and things, like, it's just amazing. But like seeing toy lines I didn't even know you collected, like Captain Planet toys. Like, oh my God, there's Captain Planet toys all on card and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Turn around, there's a collection of loose ones on the shelf as well. Like, and that's just amazing. And I think I called it out that, like, that's the school yard photo of the whole school. So he's got all his 3.75 figures and everything from Star Wars to Reaction to Action Masters from Transformers, everything all the way around, probably a couple of meters worth of these figures all on steps, probably six or so steps wide. And it just looks like, you know,
the
at
old school photo.
The whole school's on the oval, all sitting there ready for the photo. And you just, oh, it's amazing. It looks so beautiful. So mad respect. I love that you're redoing the loose stuff as well as the carded stuff.
Yeah, you haven't just thrown in some shelves and putting stuff on it. It's forced you to redo everything. You've taken the TV that was in there out and then expanded the shelving on there. Your classics that were always really well presented but spread out, they're now sort of all together, and it's like what Ben was saying, that sort of it tightens them up, and so you're getting more, it rather than sort of scan over it like you used to, you've got to go slower because there's more going on, there's multiple levels, there's, you've got three tier stands and then carded stuff behind that. Like, it's just I think it's a real game changer. And look, at the end of the day, I think it's improved your headspace around there rather than it just being a terrible storage and, oh my God, it looks like rubbish. I feel it's done wonders for you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm.
It's become an amazing space, hasn't it? And in honesty, the old room, well, it's not the old room, but the previous iteration of the room was always amazing. It was an adventure to go in there and look at the shelves and see something you've never noticed before. Now, in the 10 minutes we spent in there before we recorded tonight, it's like a whole new experience.
A whole new world.
Absolutely. And you're standing there and you're looking at things and it's like, I've never noticed that before. And I love the way you've set that up as well. That really pops off the shelf. And wow, there's a Silverhawks up on the shelf. Or where they used to be up there on the shelf as I jammed them into my pocket. It's It's a brand new adventure. Every time you walk in there, every time you have somebody new come over and experience it again for the first time, you're going to get a sense of joy and you're going to really appreciate their excitement in seeing it and embracing your creative vision in that room come to life. You've now got an opportunity and you're halfway through it to bring to life what's in your head, what's in your heart, and put it out there for the whole world to see.
Nice. Oh, thanks, guys. It's a lot of work, but and hopefully people listening, you know, if you're ever down in Adelaide, obviously the Toy Power Toy Room tours are always on offer. So love sharing it. And if you can get here, come and take a look. All right, we're pretty much at time, but we do always have time for a special gift. And this time from Toy Power assistant.
Yes.
Presenter.
Yep. Spin Master Gab has sent us a little token of appreciation for everybody. And if you've been on the Australian TMNT Nerds Facebook page, you would have seen these pop up in a lot of people's collections and things. Spin Master Gab does a lot of the auctions and things, and he thought he'd put his name out there, not just with a business card, but with a trading
with
card.
With a collector card.
A collector card,
that
yeah.
That is fantastic.
And he's got a bit of his own outlook on a Ninja Turtle, I'd say, with a sort of yellowish-orange bandana. He's doing the whole Wheel of Fortune spin thing with the holding it while holding a slice of pizza with a big bling Spin Master chain hanging around his neck, and it's really beautifully done. I'm terrible with this artist.
This is Adrian Nacinta, who just recently got his. They did the cover for the 150.
Yes, one of the variant covers.
Variant covers. He actually got to put his. He's been an Australian artist with Turtles for a while, but he's finally gotten the Turtles. Who's it? IDW, I think.
Yep.
How's the current run? Reached out to him and said, "Hey, man, let's do a collab and do a variant cover." So this is, if you know the name, you know that you've got some really nice artwork to go with.
Yeah, so thanks so much, Spin Master Gab. I've been holding on to these cards for a little while just to make sure we all catch up in person and I give it out on air and we give you a proper shout-out on the show. So very much appreciation. We'll take a little photo of these in our collections, of each of our collections, and hang them around social media. And mad respect to Adrian Nacinta for the artwork. And
beautiful.
Hopefully, he's a name that goes very far in the comic book industry because his artwork is simply outstanding. So
wonderful. Beautiful. Thanks very much, Gab.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power. And to all our patrons, thank you so much for your ongoing support and chatter on the Discord. Stay safe, take care of one another, and we will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.